The gospel is the most precious thing in the world. Tonight, as we look at the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl, we will see the incomparable value of the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Our outline is the same. We're going to look, first of all, at the instruction concerning the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl. And then we're going to look at the interpretation of those parables. First of all, the instruction concerning the parable of the treasure. Very few people, if any, put their money into banks, because only the wealthy people did that. And for the most part, people would bury their money on their property. And the parable is about a man. And we don't know what the man was doing, but this man was evidently in a field. Maybe he was working for the man who owned the field. And as he was going along, the Bible tells us that there was a treasure hidden in the field, which the man found and then hid again. And then from joy over what he found, he goes and sells all that he has in order to buy that field, in order to obtain the treasure. Now, think about that. You find something so valuable, you're willing to get rid of everything that you own to buy that one thing that you perceive as being the most valued treasure in the world. That's important, because this parable speaks concerning the value of the kingdom of God. The point of the parable is very simple. The man found something so valuable that he was willing to get rid of everything else he had in order to obtain it. That's the parable of the treasure. Number two, the parable of the pearl. The parable of the pearl. Now, you got to realize that pearls in those days are like diamonds today. They were the most valued commodity in Israel. If you had pearls, you were a rich man, or you were a rich woman. And the Bible tells us that this man, this merchant, this man who would go around finding pearls and then selling them again and making his living, would come across one pearl that was unbelievable. So much so that he would get rid of everything else that he had in order to buy this one pearl. Now, you got to realize that the value of pearls was great, because you got to understand how people obtained them. And people would lose their lives looking for pearls. That's why they were so valuable. And this man found one pearl that was so great, he would sell everything that he had to obtain it. That's important, because there was one pearl greater than all the other pearls. But the parable describes a man who went around seeking pearls, marketing them, selling them. And he found out that there was one pearl that was greater than all the pearls he'd ever seen. He was willing to get rid of what he had to obtain that one pearl. See, you got to realize today that people, when they make an investment, it's not a wise investment to throw everything into one element, one package. You have to diversify your investments. But these people realized that there was one thing more valuable than anything else, and they wanted that treasure, or they wanted that pearl. What's the interpretation of the parable? Five things I want you to see. The first thing you need to realize is that the kingdom of God is priceless. The kingdom of God is priceless. Christ wants his men to understand how valuable the kingdom of heaven is, how glorious the gospel is, how great the word of the Lord is. And so he talks about the incomparable value of the kingdom. When a person is saved, he will have the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. When a person is born again, they are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When one is born again, there is an undeserved salvation. When someone is born again, when they realize the gospel, they realize it's priceless. It's the most valued element in the world. For those of you who are born again, is it not true that when the day you gave your life to Christ, the day you relinquished your own self to follow the Lord, you realized that this was the greatest thing in all the world? There was nothing greater than giving your life to Jesus Christ and realizing that He is beyond comparison, because you obtained the Lord of the universe. He took up residence in your life. He became your king. You became His child. And that became the most priceless possession in the world. The Bible says that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never fade away. That's our inheritance. Greater than any earthly treasure. And we go and we talk to people about the kingdom of God and the world. They don't see it. They don't see the value of the kingdom. They don't see the importance of giving their life to Christ. Satan has effectually blinded the mind of the unbeliever, so he doesn't see the value of the gospel. But we who have come to Christ realize how important it is. The kingdom of God is priceless. Number two, the kingdom of God, listen, is pursued. The kingdom of God is pursued. You say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that there is none that seeketh after God, Romans chapter 3, verse number 11? Yes, it does say that. But Jeremiah 29 says these words, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." You will note that the man digging in the field wasn't necessarily looking for treasure, but he found it. He found it. The man who bought the pearl was seeking pearls, was aggressively looking to buy pearls so he might sell them again. But he found one pearl that was extremely valuable, more so than all the other pearls put together. And that's the one he wanted to obtain. These men, once they saw the treasure, once they saw the pearl, would do everything in their power to obtain it. There would be nothing that would stop them from pursuing that one aspect. Got to have it. You see, these people, this man in the field, this merchant, were men who pursued what they saw. When they realized the value of what they saw, they had to have it. They had to have it. And that's the way salvation is, isn't it? When a man recognizes the fact that he's a sinner and Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation, he has to have the Lord Jesus Christ. He realizes his need for a Savior and gives his life to the Lord. You see, the world doesn't understand why it is we do what we do. I mean, the world's got a lot of better things to do tonight than go to church. I mean, the Lakers are playing Portland tonight. Why is it you read your Bible? Why is it you do the things you do? Why is it you live by the standards you live by? Because you've realized the incomparable value of the kingdom of God. You realize there's nothing more valuable in all of life than God, His Word, His kingdom, and the life you live with Him. Nothing greater than that. It's priceless. And once you realize the value of the kingdom, you pursue it. You go after it. And once you go after it, you want more of it. You need to have more of it because you can't get enough of Christ. That's the believer. And that's the way these men were. They wanted it badly. But notice something with me. Is it not true that there are some people who specifically go looking and seeking the kingdom of God? They do. They're in the Bible. You can read about them. The Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8. Man, he was reading in Isaiah, and he wanted to know, man, he was pursuing the Messiah. He wanted to know what it was he was reading, and God sent Philip to him, and the man got saved. How about Cornelius in Acts 10? He wanted to know the truth. How about Lydia in Acts 16? A worshiper of God, a devout woman. Maybe that was you. There are other people who didn't set out to follow God or seek God. All of a sudden, they had an encounter with the living God. Saul's a perfect example. He wasn't pursuing God. He wasn't looking to have a relationship with the living God. He was on his way on the Damascus Road to persecute more Christians. And all of a sudden, he came face to face with God Almighty. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And all of a sudden, that man's life was changed. How about Matthew? Tax collector, Matthew chapter 9. What was he doing? He's just collecting money. That's all he does. Jesus comes up, "Matthew, follow me. What did Matthew do? He got up and followed Christ. He left it all, followed Christ. It's important. How about the 10th leper? Remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Only one of them was born again. That was number 10. He came back. They weren't looking to be saved. They weren't looking for the Messiah. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be whole again. And Christ sends them off to the priest to tell them while they were still lepers. They were healed. They turned around. They tried everything else. Let's try this too. They turned around and started going. And as they were going, they were all healed. But only one came back. Only one saw the value of what happened. See, the kingdom of God is pursued by those who are called by God. See, all those that are called by God will always come to Him. But there's a characteristic about them, and that is there is a passionate, persistent pursuit to know Christ. That's characteristic of every Christian. Every single person in the Bible that's born again. People say to me today, well, you know, I know people that aren't that way, they're saved. And I say, those people aren't your standard. God's Word is your standard. You see, we want to look at people and say, well, we look at this and we sell this and this church and that and that. That's not the standard. The standard is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us about the persistent, passionate pursuit of a person who wants to know and follow his God. It's characteristic of the believer in the New Testament. Can't get around it. That's the way it is. That's the truth. And that's why the Bible says in Luke 13:24, strive to enter at the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able to. Why? Because there's a pursuit, a persistent pursuit. Christ said in John 5, verse number 40, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You ever think about how all these people in the land of Israel would have these encounters with Christ, but never pursue him? Only certain ones did. And those are the ones who are the true children of the kingdom of God. Third thing I want you to see is that the kingdom of God is not only priceless and pursued, but the kingdom of God is personal. It's personal. Each man finds something that he personally appropriates. That too is important. It shows you that there are many people that are under the rulership of Christ. We talk about the kingdom of God. Christ is the ruler of the world. There's a universal kingdom, there's a spiritual kingdom, and there will be a literal kingdom. The universal kingdom speaks to the fact that our Lord is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases, okay? He rules over all. That makes everybody in the world under the universal kingdom of Christ. Those who are involved in the spiritual kingdom of Christ are those who have given their life to Christ. He has taken his residence up in them and they submit to his lordship. And those are the ones who will one day rule and reign with him in the literal kingdom of Christ. But there are many people that are in the kingdom of God universally who never personally appropriate Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember what Christ said in Matthew 8, verse number 12, to the Jewish people. The sons of the kingdom, the who? The sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, wait a minute. How can someone who's a son of the kingdom be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Simply this, that the Jewish people believed that they were saved because of their lineage. They were Jews. They were God's covenant people. They were the ones going to heaven. And Christ very aptly says, listen, there are many who are sons of the kingdom. There are many covenant people. There are many people, the children of Israel, who are not going to go to heaven because they don't personally appropriate the kingdom of God for their lives. Over in Romans 2, Paul said that circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. Unless the heart of the individual has been circumcised, that person is not born again. The Bible says very clearly in Romans chapter 9, verse number 6, that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Wow. That means that not every Jew is a true Jew, even though they're born a Jew. I'm a true Jew because I've been born again by the Spirit of God. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you are a covenant person. You are in the kingdom of God. But just because you are born a Jew, it doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You got to be born again, Jew. See that? That's important. And Paul says, not all Israel is really truly Israel. Why? Because they're in the universal kingdom, but they haven't appropriated God in their lives to be a part of a spiritual kingdom. That's important. Christ wants his people to know that the kingdom of God is personal. Another one, the kingdom of God is pleasurable. The kingdom of God is pleasurable. It says this in verse number 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What was this man's response? One of joy. Man, this is great. This is the best. This is unbelievable. Gotta have it. Nothing greater than the treasure. Nothing greater than the pearl. There's joy that's there. Is it not true that when you give your life to Christ, you experience the joy of the Lord? Listen to this. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Isn't that good? Christ says, I'm speaking these things to you so that your joy may be abundant, may be full. John said this way, 1 John 1:4. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Christ said in John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:17. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy. Did you get that? Let me tell you something. Listen to what I'm going to say. The people of the kingdom of God are a joy to be around. The people in the kingdom of God are a joy to be around because in their lives is fullness of joy. I got to tell you, I see a lot of people who claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but they had no joy. And I got to question whether or not they're truly born again. Because the Bible says that these things are written that you might have joy and that joy might be full in your life. And you know what? As believers, we of all people have the privilege of true joy. I mean, we should be the most exciting people in the world to be around. I mean, we should be so enthusiastic. That should be contagious. It should be exciting. People will say, man, what is wrong with that person? Why are they always so excited about what they're doing? Man, we go off to work. Man, we're mumbling. We're grumbling. We're griping. We're complaining. We're just like everybody else. I would say, wait a minute. What does the Bible say about our life and the way we are supposed to be and what Christ did for us? Christ says, I want your joy to be full. I can't give you life, and I can't give you an abundant life. Not just a different life. I can't give you a better life. And Christ says, I give you my joy. We got Christ's joy. I mean, can you imagine that? The one who endured the cross because of what? The joy that was set before him. Wow. That's great, man. The kingdom of God is pleasurable. The most exciting thing in all the world is to be a Christian, to follow the Lord, to believe in him. Right? Very few of you are convinced of that. You realize that the happiest place on earth is in California. But the happiest people on earth are Christians. Because they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. There wasn't made of joy. You don't read Paul being downcast and depressed and sad and grumbling and complaining. And, oh, wow, man, well, this is a real drag being in the ministry. It's a real drag doing the church thing. It's a real drag serving these people who are no good to serve anyway. I don't want to do this. I'm going to go back to killing them. I got more joy out of that than I do this. He didn't say that kind of stuff. Man, he was excited about what he did. He lived for the church. He died for the church. You see, there's something about the Christian that loves the church of Jesus Christ. He just loves the church. He can't get enough of church. He wants more of the church. He wants more of God's people. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the abundance of joy is. And they want to be around God's people. Why? Because when they get together, there's that exuberance, there's that excitement, there's that joy that only Jesus Christ can give. Next thing I want you to see is this. The kingdom of God, listen carefully, is purchased. The kingdom of God is not only priceless. The kingdom of God is something that's not only something that's pleasurable, but the kingdom of God is purchased. You will note that both men bought something. They bought it. They purchased the field. They purchased the pearl. And what did they buy it with? They bought it with money. That's how they got it. He said, wait a minute, Pastor, you're telling me you can buy your way into heaven? Christ, that is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Let me explain to you what I mean. Turn back with me to Isaiah 55 for a moment. You must understand that when you enter the kingdom of God, there's a transaction that takes place. Most people never understand this, but we need to understand it. Isaiah 55, verse number 1, it says this, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come," what's the next word? "Buy and eat." Come, what's the next word? "Buy wine and milk." Without what? Without money. And without what? Cost. Wow. I got to buy something, but I can't buy it with money. Christ, in his last invitation in Revelation chapter 21, said this way. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Verse number 17. "Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." So what do we mean by a transaction? We know that that eternal life is a free gift of God. We know it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit of God. So what is it I purchase? Or better yet, what is the transaction that takes place? It's simply this. Transaction is that you give up all that you have to obtain all that he is. That is salvation. That's how a person gets saved. He gives up all that he has in order to obtain all that God is. That's what the man in the field did. That's what the merchant did. They got rid of it all in order to obtain the treasure, to obtain the pearl. See, I'm afraid that when we present the gospel, we don't do a very good job. That's why we get lots of conversions, because we don't want to spill out the cost to people. And we have to explain to people the cost of following Christ, of giving up your life for his life. Now ask yourself the question. When you came to Christ, what did you give up? That was so valuable. Your sin? Hell? Is it so valuable that that's greater than Christ? No. We realized that we were destined for hell. And so we could easily give our lives to Christ because we realized that if we didn't have Christ, we would be separated from him forever because of our sin. But he took upon himself our sin that we might be saved. Oh, that's priceless. That's what we want. Let's pray.